It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. I'm the co-founder of Retire Repurpose alongside Ben Tejas. Thank you so much for joining us today. You might be listening to us on the radio. You might be listening to us on iTunes. If you would just head over to iTunes, find our podcast, click subscribe, and better yet, leave us a quick positive rating and review. If you just take a moment and do that, we would appreciate that so much. Now, this podcast, it is about retirement, but it's not about money. It's about the non-financial aspects of retirement, which can be more challenging than the financial. Few people can just flip the switch from working a career, having an identity for 30, 40, maybe 50 plus years, and then retiring on Saturday without methodical steps into what we think should be a repurposed retirement. If you're looking for more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. On this episode, Ben Tejas and I take a break from our retirement story series to discuss some of our biggest takeaways we've heard. You know, our stories, they are a reflection of who we are, where we've come from, and where God is taking us in the future. In this podcast, we use examples from these stories that we've heard over the last several episodes to illustrate how the life of a retiree should drastically break the mold of society's expectations of a baby boomer. Enjoy this episode. All right, Ben, we have now done several episodes, about 8 or 9 episodes of highlighting people's retirement stories. And this whole series really started, Ben, you said, hey, let's kind of mix it up a little bit and let's just get back to the basics. Let's get some people on the show and just let them talk. There really hasn't been a real defined point when we've done these interviews, but it's really been fun just to kind of get people in here, sit them down, and just give them a platform to share their life and share their stories.
Yeah, for sure, Jared. I think I've actually been catching a little bit of a hard time from some people. They're saying, have you just been on vacation all summer long? That is not the case. I have been here. I've been working, and I've been listening to this podcast, you know, even, and there has been a few vacations in there, but just listening to the podcast and listening to some of these people has been very interesting, and I am enjoying it because I think, you know, the more we can hear from people who have not even necessarily people have done great things, people just have lived life, and yeah. it really tells you. I mean, if you're listening today, and you hear one of these stories, it's like, well, it's interesting, but it's not like they went out and started an orphanage somewhere and had this huge story. Your story is probably going to impact somebody, and I know if you're listening to this, there are pieces of all of these guys and that probably brought you some sort of wisdom because they've lived it and they're willing to share it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to this point. We said, you know, I think it's time where we just take an episode and kind of break down a little bit more of the lessons that a lot of these stories brought us. And not only that, maybe inspire you to take a listen back and re-listen to some of these episodes because they were so good. This is actually episode number 52. If you rewind the tape back to episode 44, we had Jeremy Brown. Jeremy Brown's a good friend of ours. He is the founder of Throne Publishing Group in Sioux Falls. And he is an expert storyteller. He's not a retiree, but he really dove into the importance of how important our stories actually are. And we actually titled that episode, Knowing Who God Made Us to Be. And he said, man, you know, this is why retirees and everybody should share their stories because it really encapsulates our life story. And you really get to see, especially if you reflect on your story, just how much God has played a role in that. And that helps you kind of go forward and understand the whole picture of how your life is kind of all laid out.
Yeah. And if you're like me, Jared, you kind of, as I'm hearing that episode, I'm thinking what stories made me who I am.
That's right.
And I actually, what kept coming to my mind, Jared, was when I was a kid, I remember my dad, we had probably, our farm, I grew up on a small farm, West Central Minnesota, very, poor, I would say at that time. I think since then my dad's done very well over the years and growing it. But back then we were kids, it was tight. Mm-hmm. And I can remember one time, The first time I really started to feel like we didn't have a lot of money, and that was when I was driving. We were riding in my dad's pickup truck. He drove like a 1978 Ford F-150, and the unique thing about that truck is it was bright orange with a cream pinstripe, like a stripe down the middle, like ugly as could be. And we were driving along, and I can remember looking down through the floorboards and watching the gravel because it was so rusted out.
Yeah.
And you could see through underneath the truck, like inside the cab, like the gravel road. Mm-hmm. And then I can remember that same trip, we pulled up alongside another very, very nice, almost brand new truck. And I remember looking at him, I made a comment to my dad about how neat that truck was. And he says, "Well, Ben, you know, the smile on his face is no bigger than the smile on ours." Mm-hmm. And at that time, I'm like, okay, Dad, I actually wanted that smile that they had.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that taught me something, right?
Yeah.
And I think it taught me that you don't have to have everything or be happy. In fact, many people that have a lot aren't as happy. And I can remember, I mean, that's just one example, but just one little story that sticks out in my mind. And I would encourage our listeners to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Look back at the stories.
Yep.
Look back at those things that you remember happening and then think about what did it teach you? How did it shape you into who you are today? And I know for a fact that shaped me into the person I am today. And you know, now we're helping people with finances. We're helping people really look at contentment in their life and look at how really a complete view of money. And that was big for me.
Yeah. Well, we've done entire podcasts just on reflection, you know, reflecting back on those stories because it shows you how God has intervened. And then once there's a recognition standpoint, I'm like, wow, look at how this has shaped me here. Then it propels you going forward. And it goes back to the entire message that we try to give on this podcast. This is the beginning. Retirees, this is now the beginning. It's kind of that crescendo, so to speak, of now this is where we're headed into. So everything up until this point, good news for you baby boomers listening, this has been all pregame. And the way that you really understand how to go forward is to reflect and go back. Then we had episode number 45 with Bill Nelson. It was called Never Stop Teaching. Here's a guy who was certainly of retirement age. He had a coaching background, teaching background, and now he's dedicating his life to teaching other retirees to live with health. That's a great example of someone who is repurposed. He has taken who he was and had been for so many years, massaged it a little bit, and now is taking that going forward.
Yeah, and I can remember with his story, really that health aspect being so important to him.
Yep.
And I think it was after the show, or maybe we're talking about him, but I think he was widowed, right?
Yep.
Was that him?
Yep.
Yeah, and I can remember thinking of his story and how that must have impacted the way he looks at life even. I think many of us that have had personal loss in our lives, if you're out there, you're listening, and you, maybe you're widowed, maybe you're a widower, I'm always amazed at how people can come through that, specifically believers. I know it makes it so much easier if you know where your spouse went, but if you listen to that and you think about, hey, life isn't over. You know, I still am called to this earth to do something. And I think Bill really got that. He's like, I'm still here. My spouse may have gone, but I'm here. I can still do something. Mm-hmm. And he continues to make a difference in the kingdom. And he continues to help people, you know, live better lives.
Loved it. He was a great example of somebody who has stayed active, stayed engaged. And I can't remember exactly how old he was, but he was in his 70s and certainly didn't look like it. So again, a great example of somebody that we are trying to inspire life into. Then we had episode number 46 with Phil Saint. This is one of my favorites. Phil Saint, his dad is famous missionary Nate Saint. A lot of you have heard of him, perhaps watched the movie End of the Spear. His older brother Steve Saint wrote the book End of the Spear. I'm reading it to my kids right now. He gave me a copy after that interview. Just an incredible story. But the thing I took away from Phil's story is that yes, he allowed his childhood and the legacy that his dad was, you know, because he's got this big name of a dad and even a big name of a brother. But he recognized it as this is my story, took how God has used him and then ran with it. He didn't try to be his brother. He didn't try to be his dad. You know, he was a small town teacher here in West Central Minnesota for the majority of his career and owned it. And took it and ran with it and used it. And I watched how God has used him and will continue to use him. And I thought that was just such a really neat aspect of Phil.
Yeah. And I like, you know, speaking of Phil, I love teachers. I love watching teachers retire. I know Phil fully isn't retired, but I think we know that they leave huge legacies. And that's not taking away from, you know, Phil's brother or his dad. I mean, those are great things too, being being a famous missionary. I mean, that's awesome. But maybe you're not called to the missionary field. Maybe you're called to be a teacher. Maybe you're called to be to work in a restaurant. Maybe you're supposed to serve others. Maybe you're in a in a work in construction. Maybe you're blue collar, white collar. Doesn't matter. You've got a calling on your life, and when you can hone in on that, and Phil, there wasn't an anxiety to him like, oh, I feel like I should be doing more, right? He felt like, I was supposed to be teaching. I am teaching. I've done this for how many years? I mean, like 30, 40, whatever. It's many, many years. And you want to talk about impacting lives. I mean, these a teacher specifically, when you can sit across, you know, in a classroom with generations of children impacting them, you know, it's a very, very powerful thing. And I think something that, you know, is a pretty neat thing as well.
Yeah. Well, a guy like Phil, and I think most teachers as well, they may not always teach, but they're always, I think they're so used to impacting others that that's going to be really hard pressed for that to really go away. And he was kind of in between retirement. We talked about in the podcast how he's kind of semi-retired and may go back to teaching to some capacity. Again, another great example of somebody being repurposed, but yet another great example of somebody who I don't see just kind of walking away and quote-unquote retiring someday. So I thought that that was really, really cool about Phil. Next was episode 47 with Scott Thoma. Now, Scott, he was the one that had a very traumatic experience with a tornado in Tracy, Minnesota. It was one of, I think, one of only two F5s ever in the state. He survived that. And now he's 62. He's a writer and an author. And his story is that now he writes stories in a senior publication about other seniors that are doing inspiring things. And as you know, Ben, the biggest takeaway there is that he was so affected by these people that he was covering that he now looks at life and retirement totally different.
Yeah, I love it. I think he was 62, right? Yep. You say that? So, and he'd said, well, I thought by 62, I'd be retired. You know? I mean, that's certainly by 65, he made the comment, by 65, I'm that's retirement age, quote unquote, as you know, Social Security might tell somebody. But no, he's like, I'm going to do this as long as I can because he's enjoying it. I, what I look at there is when you get in a career, when you get in a work that is where you're supposed to be, sometimes it doesn't feel like work. And many times you end up taking it longer than what you thought. So I love
that.
About,
and that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, talk about that briefly. I think people almost feel guilty the fact that they want to keep working and adding value. And I think that goes back to like a misnomer or a lie that society has told us. Some people say like, hey, you know, I'm going to retire, but I'm going to keep working. And they say that almost as if like I have to make an excuse for why I have to keep working. They shouldn't have to do that, should they?
No, not at all. I think that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I think it's a great thing when somebody can choose to go to work. You know, and we deal with that a lot. You know, we know of many of our clients are financially independent well before the time that they actually, quote unquote, society would tell them to retire. They continue to work. You know, personally, Jared, and you know this about me, I don't really work for money anymore. You know, we're to a place through the business that we don't have to. But what I do is I love coming to work because I enjoy it. You know, my daughter's been helping out around the office this summer and it's been so fun having her here. And she told me one time, she's like, Dad, I just hope that I can find a job that I love to do as much as you do.
Yeah.
And that to me was the most, the greatest compliment because my kid saw me at work loving my job.
Right.
And I don't think she's coming into the financial services business. I don't think she'll ever do that. Mm-hmm. But what it taught her was, hey, you can love your work, you can love your job enough that even if you're not getting paid for it like many retirees aren't, you still want to add value.
Yep.
You still, God created us to work, so you're still going to want to do something to create value.
During the Scott Thoma podcast, I asked him, I said, what is the one thing that you see all these seniors, and again, he's 62 himself, but he's covering people well into their 70s, 80s, and even in the 100s. So what's the one thing that you see of them that is they're doing it right? And he unequivocally said they ignore their age.
Yeah, I remember that.
We've got a massive problem with ageism in this country. We'll probably spend an entire podcast in the future just to talk about that. But that's another lie I think society gives us. They say once you reach a certain age, it's time for you to be old and start acting old.
And feel old.
And feel old. And these people have ignored that. So we're going to talk more about that, I'm sure, to come. But yeah, that reinforced this idea that we have got to quit focusing on our age and what society says that we should do and act. The next one was episode 48 with Jeff Gould. This was great. He talked about stepping into your third quarter purpose. This was phenomenal. He said, in the second quarter of life, 25 to 50, it's about relationships. The third quarter, 50 to 75, it's about walking into a life of significance. And then he said, beyond that, the fourth quarter, 75 and beyond, people are looking for honor. And I thought that that was really, really powerful. And I think that that's true. Me and you, Ben, we're kind of in that second quarter going on the third quarter. There is a transition that happens where it's like, it's not, life isn't about just making money. Now I really want to, I want to be significant. I want to have impact. But then he said there was a conundrum because people look to the wrong things to find significance and honor. Talk about that for a second.
Well, I think many people look to building their value in their investment portfolio, their retirement account, right? Yep. In our society, the more money you have, the more valuable you are. And I think
that's a sad truth.
It's a sad lie. It's very much a truth, but it's where we're at. And I think people are like, you know, and even when they talk about their career, it's like, well, I'm a baker or I'm a this. And you look at a career and they're like, yeah, I'm a garbage man. You know, I got this guy that picks up my garbage, Jared, greatest dude. He is awesome at his job. And every time he comes, I go out and talk to him. Mm-hmm. And I almost felt like one time we were talking, it almost felt like he was like apologizing for what he did. I'm like, no, you like what you do, man. That's great. Right. So let's not put our value on our work or on our, you know, what's in our, you know, what's in our bank account.
Yeah.
We can't find value there. And I think that is one of the biggest mistakes that people have today is putting value on that versus them as a person.
Yep. Significance and honor. The way that you get significance and honor, if you're listening to this, is watching a younger generation, the younger generation, your heirs, your kids, your grandkids, walking into the life that you want them to live. It's passing down the wisdom and the values that you have and watching them step into that. Dude, society will not tell you that. That we have missed the boat on this. And that's why, Ben, you and I, you know us, I mean, clearly, but, you know, this is why we're so passionate about this, is because it's not so much that you go into retirement and you don't retire and not do, you know, good work. It's that there's a generation below you folks listening to this that need that. And what it's going to do is it's actually going to scratch the itch that you have. Because what you're searching for is significance and honor, just like Jeff Gould said. But the way that you get that, We've got our eyes on the wrong target. And so again, I think you're gonna hear more about that topic coming up in the future for sure.
You will not feel good about where you're at in life if you're focusing on yourself, if you're focusing on your bank account.
Absolutely.
If you're focusing on others, that's how you will make that third quarter purpose kind of come to life.
Yep. Episode 49 was next with Vern Anderson. He's a guy here in West Central Minnesota. He built a company on faith and prayer, Douglas Machines. He's now quote unquote retired, wrote a book. He's in his 70s. We had him in the studio a couple of weeks ago. This guy is on fire and not slowing down in the least. I think that's just hearing his story about how he built that company and sustained it through the years was, to me, really, really cool. And again, another example of somebody who's just doing it right.
Yeah, I've heard him speak before. Love his story. Really do appreciate Vern and what he's done. What stood out to me was the story after the thing, right? It was after the podcast. Maybe walk him through that, because I think that got really cut out.
Yeah.
But was more impactful to me than even the podcast.
Yeah, when he was in when it was in the late 70s, so, you know, 40 plus years ago, he was working on restoring an old pickup. And so this is back when he was probably about our age and was spending a lot of time doing that. And he said that his dad had the biggest impact on his life. He didn't have a chance to share that while we were recording, but his dad called him out on him being away from home, you know, spending too much time on this pickup. And so he ended up finishing restoring it, ended up selling it, giving all the money away to charity. But never forgot that lesson. And so, again, I think that there's many layers to that lesson in that story, but you cannot underestimate the power that you have to pour into your kids, grandkids, and using your wisdom to mold and shape them. And here we are 40 years later, and he still talks about that story of his dad, which is great.
Yeah, those big stories. I mean, again, going back to what I said earlier, don't forget to sit back and really just dwell on those stories and think about what did God teach you, because that to me was very impactful from Vern's episode.
Episode 50, Bob Shank, he started the Master's Group. He's based in California. He talked about Jesus's life and how that models the true retirement. This one really got me. I got to tell you, and Ben, you know this, because when we got done chatting with Bob, I said, man, that was incredible. He talked about how He said, you know, in the last 3 years of Jesus's life, he accomplished what God put him on earth to do. As a retiree, we can spend upwards of 20%+ of our lives in, quote, retirement. So that's a big challenge. Jesus accomplished his entire life's mission in 10%. You're probably going to have double the amount of time, statistically speaking. So I think that's a real strong challenge to say, what are you going to do with that final 20%? Are you going to retire? Or are you going to then now walk in and accomplish your life's biggest calling? That's a sobering challenge.
Yeah, and as you were doing that show, and I was listening to that, I kept thinking, what if a retiree hasn't fully met their calling, right? I mean, many people are like, yeah, my calling was at work, you know, and they found their identity in their career, and that was their calling, if you will. Mm-hmm. And yet God had something way bigger for them. In fact, that part of life was really the preparation. Like we right. talk about Absolutely. The preparation for the actual, that's the pregame. The real game was to come. And God was like, when they have all this time, talent, treasure all put together, it's all coming together at the same time mm-hmm. in retirement. And now I've got a little more time because, in fact, my career kind of got in the way
right.
of what really set me on fire. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden I'm able to pour time into that. And then that last part of your life, you end up really doing the biggest things for the kingdom, the biggest things for your family. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. And I think that does. That really, really coincides with how Jesus yeah. lived, right? I mean, his whole life was coming to that moment yeah. when he made the ultimate sacrifice and accomplished the good work.
I'm not suggesting that the middle of our life when we're building careers is insignificant. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it's kind of funny, if you read the scriptures, you don't hear a lot from when Jesus was a teenager to when he turned 30. There's really little to nothing written of that time. You hear a little bit of his childhood, you get a little bit when he's in adolescence, and then it picks up the story when his ministry starts at 30 years old. But you can speculate he was a carpenter and probably worked with his dad, and he was probably a businessman, and you know, and did all those things. But again, that is what platformed him into it, and everything kind of came to this culmination at the end. And yeah, I mean, that was 3 years. Again, a typical retiree can plan to spend 10+ years, perhaps 20+. That's a lot of time. Going back to your time, talent, treasure. There's a lot of responsibility on a retiree to steward that time. Folks, you're responsible. You're gonna be accountable for those years. That's a very sobering challenge.
I think both sobering and exciting. Right? Yeah. I mean, when we look at a retiree and you've got more time than you've had before, and you take that Sabbath time to rest and figure out what's next, and you start to enjoy, you know, really enjoy time off and enjoy the margin in your life to really see yeah. what else you could be doing. I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
And I, you know, believe me, there's plenty of rest and relaxation in retirement. There always should be.
Yeah.
You've earned that. But I think part of it is certainly not, I know that you will not find that calling and you will not be fulfilled if that's all you do, right?
And
I think that needs to be balanced.
Episode 51, last week, Bruce Schumann, good friend of mine, associate pastor here in West Central Minnesota, he talked about how the highest level of influence is ahead. His challenge in that podcast was that he was challenged, calling right to baby boomers, right to retirees. It's time to re-engage, grab a hold at the opportunity at hand. There should be a crescendo type of aspect to our life. And I think that's missing in society. It's missing on how retirees view their life in retirement. And this is something we really have to spend time in this podcast dissecting and saying, hey, we've got to rewrite the narrative on this whole story.
Yeah, that hit me too. I was like, it almost felt like we're being lied to, you know, as retirees and even generationally, like right now. Like for me, as a business person, as an American today, it's like, do this, do that, do this, so that someday you can have this amazing retirement. And I don't know that that's entirely true. In fact, I know it's not. So I think when I heard Bruce, I was like, yeah, I think society has told us and certainly retirees the wrong information. And now it really is up to us to re-look at that and kind of rewrite it a little bit and make sure people can see their value. Make sure they see their value. Make sure they can see society needs them and we need them right now.
Well, I sure hope you've enjoyed this conversation with Ben Tejas and I as we've looked back over the last several episodes. I think it's becoming more and more apparent to Ben and myself that the lie society gives to people regarding their retirement really is an epidemic. And not only that, we have believed the lie, both retirees, younger generations, and society included. And I think it's time we start changing the narrative and rewriting the story of what retirement should be. I encourage you to go back and listen to the stories we've highlighted in this episode. Go to iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, search Retire Repurposed, and take a listen. Until next time, I'm Jared Sebesta. Remember, don't retire, become repurposed. We'll see you then.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.